Welcome back to another episode of Bike and a Half.
This is episode 13.
Episode 13. Yes, I'm excited.
Episode 13 of Black and a Half.
And it's a good luck number.
It's a lucky number. Lucky 13. Number 13.
Yes.
With, our guest, Lorraine Montez.
Lorraine Montez.
She's one of the founders of Abundant Productions.
Yes.
She's
an actress, producer.
Yeah. And she's she came in here because she has a new show premiering this week.
Yes.
This week, it's on June 8th. Is there?
Yes, June 8th.
Special thing. She talks about that in there. It's called Locally Grown.
Yes. It's very funny. Very.
We're sure it's funny.
Yeah, we're
we
sure it's
seen
funny.
It yet,
right, we've got the feedback on
the
it.
Website.
Though. Yes.
Nice. But it premieres this week. It's kind of a mix of Modern Family, Arrested Development, all at a local farmer's market.
All into one.
And so those of you in Seattle will love that because you're all hippies.
And you love organically grown food.
Yes. Have you ever belonged to one of those produce things that delivers produce to you?
I try to eat crappy. I like to put preservatives in my body to helpfully preserve it a little bit longer.
So, it will.
Yeah.
Should try a vegetable one day.
The black community doesn't really do that.
Ghetto juice, which is
grape
Kool-Aid,
drink
right?
And Kool-Aid.
I always call it just Kool-Aid.
Or, as we like to call it, diabetes enhancer, the sugar.
This was fun. So what else? We talked to her about...
We got deep.
Yeah.
We got real deep. We talked about
death, life after death.
Life after death. We talked about out-of-body experiences. We talked about premonitions, seeing the future.
But then we talked about polyamory.
We did.
Nobody here in it was polyamorous. We were just talking about it.
We
I was very
freaky.
Judgy about it.
He was.
Raising kids.
Yeah. And we talked about taking the DNA of three people and combining it into one.
It's sort of like the movie Twins.
Yes.
With
Danny
Arnold
DeVito.
Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Cheerios.
The Cheerios commercial.
making some waves. If you haven't seen the Cheerios commercial, I'll put a link to it on there.
Yes.
It's a multicultural family. Groundbreaking.
It is.
I love it. It was my family.
Yes.
Did you notice?
When we first,
you noticed it right
I noticed
away.
When we first watched it. There's anytime you see.
You're like, that's a white woman.
Talking to a black girl. A little black girl. And she called her mommy.
Black.
And the dad is black. So you know he's suffering from
high
cholesterol.
I just thought it was like. It's a subtle racism.
Yeah, exactly.
The subtle racism is that, she is worried because her daddy's black, so he probably has bad cholesterol. Mommy, shouldn't you not cook him any fried chicken?
Exactly. She's like, well, we got him Cheerios, baby. That'll offset it.
I think it's incredible. I'm glad it's out. There's a great article on Jezebel about it.
We'll put the link up to that, too.
Yeah.
As well.
But it's exciting. It's summer.
It is.
Hey, we told them last time we'd have a good announcement.
Yes. You want to let them know?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to be doing a live podcast recording. Live podcast recording at the Parlor Live Comedy Club, July 24th. That's a long ways from now, but got to mark that calendar. We are going to have special guests. We're not announcing them yet. We're going to keep going. We got two locked in for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're in contract negotiations for the other ones.
Yep.
You know, this is bigger than WrestleMania.
It is. Oh my goodness.
But we're gonna have people from four different web series panels there. We're gonna do showings of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a packed house, so you're definitely gonna want to get tickets when we put them up there. I'm very excited about it. Our first live podcast recording. I don't know what number it'll be at that point.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be 100. Who knows?
Yeah. It might be amazing. We might get there.
We might do a lot of podcasts
we
between
might.
Now and then, so it can be special.
Do 99, quick podcasts.
Yeah.
Be a minute.
It'll be exciting. We'll get you more information about that. We do have other things in the work. We'll announce those as we're allowed to by our lawyers and by the president.
Exactly.
I'm not saying I'm working with them.
Not saying we're working directly with them.
Right.
But
you know,
sort of.
We don't do anything
unless he gives the okay.
The head nod.
Or the fist bump.
Head black man in charge, I think is the saying.
Yeah. Other words, but we don't use that.
Yeah, we don't. Not about the president.
Not about the president. That's my
president.
Dude.
President. And if you are, shame on you.
Exactly.
Hey, we've seen some people have liked us on Facebook.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, they're liking Black and a Half on podcasts, so on Black and a Half Podcast on Facebook. Go yes. there, like that. Go to iTunes, subscribe.
Like us there.
Yeah, and leave a review.
Yeah.
Tell us how awesome we are as one and a half black people.
Yeah, or if you hate us, tell us how we can improve, how we can make your day better.
You know, this podcast isn't just for us.
It isn't. It's for the people. You.
Yeah.
That's right. We want to be your voice.
We're like the people's podcast.
We are. And we'll give you the people's elbow.
Yeah.
If you disrespect our fans.
We don't have a Twitter, but follow Manny at Manny Jr.
At Manny Martin Jr.
Manny Martin Jr.
On Twitter.
And I'm at Silas L.
Yep.
Trying to get those up.
Exactly. Trying to get those tweets up.
Yeah. I've been tweeting a lot.
I've been tweeting a lot more. It's usually in the bathroom when I'm at work. Just because, you know, you got to do it during the day.
Sunday Night Angry Birds.
Yeah, exactly. It's good quality time spent.
Okay, so this episode 13, Lorraine Montez.
Yes, have a listen.
Black and a Half.
Black and a Half. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Oh, lower cool.
it? I don't think I can lower it. I think it's as short as
No, that's the way I can make eyes at Manny. Can I?
That's all
I
can see. That's what he's here for.
Googly eyes.
Googly eyes. Looks. I like that.
I love it. All right.
You look like a black version mm-hmm. of the Lando Calrissian's partner on Bespin.
Was he an alien?
No, on Lando, Empire Strikes Back. Remember, there's the bald guy that had the...
Oh, that's right. It wasn't either like... He was like a cyborg or something.
I don't know what he
was. Oh, he was that guy. Yeah, the hybrid that could talk to like some of the robots and stuff.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Were you a Star Wars fan?
Oh, yeah.
Jonah?
Who doesn't love Star Wars?
Star Trek.
Did you see anyone?
I'm a sci-fi geek.
Nice. Yeah. We love you even more already.
Yeah. Have you seen the... have you seen Star Trek 2?
No. Into Darkness? No, I want to, though.
Saw the first one, though, right? The remake?
Yeah.
Nice. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It's definitely an alternative world. I mean, it's not the same thing, but, you know, Star Trek can be told from all different angles.
Exactly.
Star Trek is all accepting as long as you are a hot chick in a short skirt.
Now, you were involved with the local production, right?
Phoenix.
Star Trek Phoenix.
Yep.
It was a fan.
Oh.
Fan film.
Fan film, yep.
Very nice.
I was going to say fan series, but I guess it can't be a series until there's more than one, right?
Yeah, we need the second half going. Yeah. But they're still going for money.
Cloak and Dagger. Are they still raising? Are they still trying?
I think so, yeah.
Is it on Kickstarter?
Robbins is still hitting that. I don't think he's been on Kickstarter recently. They were doing some fundraising for it. I had pulled in to help with the part one of the pilot.
Ah.
This is my way of bribing myself as a character, actually.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun. Yeah. And then I got to play a trill on that. So that was really cool. Yeah.
Cool.
I was a kick-ass trill, man. Nice. I had the biggest gun of everybody.
There you go.
Yeah. Big ass. You should see it, man.
I've learned just from talking to other people how hard it is just to get actors together to begin with for like one series. Like just to get it going, and then they get in other projects, and so they're hard. So I imagine
all volunteer based. It's really tough.
Which is funny because it's like, I mean, I guess you typically crews paid locally. I mean, do the crew usually get paid in these short films or?
Yeah, we try to pay with Abundant. We always try to pay, and we did pay. For Locally Grown, the web series we have coming out now, which is like the Arrested Development meets Portlandia for the Farmer's Market.
Uh-huh.
And with a thrown in Modern Family with a little bit in there, too. But it's we paid everybody on that. But for Phoenix, we paid crew, but we did not pay actors.
Because right. of the bigger picture.
Right, because you can't.
Because we just couldn't. But we really tried. Yeah, we really try to. Hang on a second. I'm so short. Is that better?
Yeah.
Now I have that NPR voice.
So there
we
are.
Like that.
Yeah.
But we really thrive to make sure that strive to make sure everybody's paid when we do Abundant Productions. Now we don't get paid as the producers, and if we act in it, we don't get paid.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so why is that?
because we can't afford it. Every cent goes into production.
Man.
Eventually, we'd like to get paid. But
what would you say is like a rough estimate on like a production like budget?
It depends on what you're doing.
And how much does it cost to live somewhere?
Well,
it's like, what's a rough estimate on buying
a car?
Well,
I mean, like, let's say, like, one of the most recent, like, you know, where it's like you've maybe, like, how many people are in, I mean, some of these productions that you've been doing? It's pretty massive.
Well, for Locally Grown, mm-hmm. we did, when we filmed the pilot series, we had about 80 cast and crew mm-hmm. on set for, I think it was 2 days, may have been 3 days. One of the days we filmed was actually in a completely uncontrolled environment.
Wow.
And for those of people who don't know what that means that you take your camera and your mics out there into the public and you post a sign that says, if you walk into this area, you're agreeing to be on this show and we can show your face and contact us if you don't want us to. And here's the contact information. And then that's it. You never know what the public's going to do or whether you're going to get the shots you need and you're trying to do specific shots while mm-hmm. the public's around you.
So that's legal? You can actually... Because I went to Comic-Con, and they had that up. So I figured, oh, because it's an enclosed space.
Well, we got permission from the market.
Right.
And you have to get your permits with the city. You
right.
work through the Office of Film and Music, and Chris Swenson and those great guys over there for the city of Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then, actually, Shoreline, the city of Shoreline, has recently become exceptionally film-friendly. They are making great strides with the help of Tony DuPay, who is a well-known actor here in town. Mm-hmm. And they're actually starting to really embrace independent filmmakers in the indie film community and trying to figure out ways to really assist and help us. So mm-hmm. keep an eye on the City of Shoreline because it's really up and coming.
Oh,
Tony
nice.
Tony
shoot,
DuPay is actually
shoot my
there.
Film here, huh?
Yeah. Tony DuPay is the City of Shoreline's liaison. He's mm-hmm. actually also a teacher at Shoreline Community College, mm-hmm. teaches acting, and he was our director for the Locally Grown pilot.
Oh. So. Is the Locally Grown it's not a real family, right?
No.
Yeah, we were looking at it. We were like, is it?
Oh, he was like, oh, they're.
I mean,
they're,
like, some, like the little girl looked like she could be related to, like, one of the actresses.
Oh, well, thank you. It was my partner, Simon Hamlin, who created it, mm-hmm. and my other partner in Abundant, Lisa Rosa, who co-wrote it with Simon and Tony, all did very painstaking auditions, which took a lot of time to find the right cast.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have, and then I don't know if you recognize the grandma, Gigi, but that's Cindy mm-hmm. Louise Terran. She used to play Julie on The Love Boat.
Oh,
she's,
nice.
Is she the local? Here?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
nice.
She's fabulous. And John Curley guest stars in the pilot.
Oh,
and then we just put on, actually this morning, if you go to locallygrowntv.com, you'll see there's a link to a live interview with Dave Dieterer from Presidents of the United States of America. And he's talking about growing up, being locally grown in Seattle as a musician. And he talks about the music and he talks about farmers markets and his memories of those and hanging out and growing up in Seattle when there was nothing to do here.
Yeah.
Nice.
And what they used to do and how music started here with the grunge movement and, you know, the bands he remembers from that time and all that stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture of the cast.
Yeah, there's one. If you go back one, you'll see the Dave.
Wait, is that her?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Julie.
We'll put a picture of this on our website.
And she's a hoot. She is absolutely a hoot.
Along with the website.
And then you can slide one more over. There's three sliders. So
three slides?
Yeah. I mean,
oh, there.
There it is. I am locally grown. That's the interview with Dave Dieterer.
Ah.
And he's still...
Organic characters, sustainable laughs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And we premiere June 8th, live event in Seattle, and then the actual pilot will go up June 12th. On the website.
Very cool.
How many episodes have been shot?
We've only shot the pilot, but we have five bonus sprouts, which are these very small vignettes. Dave's interview is the first. It's the longest. But the other bonus sprouts are kind of like, it's just like almost like confessional booth type things where the characters are talking to the audience and you get to know the characters in more depth and they have their own little moments. Like we have one called Cosmic Fudge. Which stars Deb Prale, who is the plays Sam Granger. She's the lead in Locally Grown, and she talks about going and dealing with this one vendor and having a choice between these two brownies, one called regular and one called cosmic fudge, and things that happen to her after she partakes of this particular brownie. And Dave Dieter comes into her psyche, and it's quite an odd and quirky and fun little vignette.
That's awesome.
How long is the first episode?
It's actually, the pilot's two episodes in one, and so it's 12 minutes.
Total?
Yeah. The webisodes will run anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes each.
Okay.
But we did combine two in this one because there's a lot of depth to this world and a lot of story to get out. So we wanted to make sure audiences would be able to get it, mm-hmm. be able to understand the characters, and want to see more as we move forward.
So I have a question. So if you're producing, you're not taking any money for producing.
Yeah.
What is the... What keeps you going? What's the motivation to keep working on it if you're not getting anything?
Well, that's a good question. So not only do we not get any money as producers, we put our own personal funds into it as well. Right. And I've done that with several projects we've done through Abundant. We're going to have one coming out later this year called Stop Requested. It's a featurette. It's a metaphysical suspense thriller with some small horror elements. And we call it a featurette because it was shot on the Red. It really does look like a feature film. It runs about 25 minutes.
Wow.
I have to say I'm very proud of the work we've done. We've put thousands of dollars into that one as well. I've co-produced. There's a project coming out, a short called Worst Night to Grow a Pair. If you go on to Frankenhuffer Productions on Facebook, they just put a teaser out, which is wild. It looks just like The Hangover. It's just going to be amazing. And I know the story behind it, which is incredible. So you see the teaser and then you see the story behind it. You're like, oh, people have no idea what's coming. It's going to be crazy. In all of those instances, as co-producer or producer, along with these other producers, we put in our own money. And I think the reason behind it is, one, it's a passion and a love. It's a way to create. So I produce, I write scripts, I act, and I offer something to writers and actors called Abundant Story Playground once a month here in town.
Nice.
Right now it's free, so take advantage of it. It's a very unique way of disrupting the writing process that's very productive by utilizing a moderator who kind of steers things and professional actors. If you want to know more about it, I'll invite you into one of them. You come see what it's all about.
Yeah.
But what happens is the goal is that at the end of whatever portion of that writing progress that writer is in for that script, at the end of it, whatever that draft is going to be equal to what that writer might do on their own or with a writing partner in 4 or 5 iterations up from that draft. Mm-hmm. So it's a really productive way to get to the heart of the matter of the story for the writer in a way that inspires the writer, brings the story out. Professional actors help with dialogue and really going in depth with the characters and pushing back on storylines. We have other writers there working together. So it's a playground. It's a way to play, but really get a lot of effective work done on stories and scripts.
That's awesome.
So doing all of that, very passionate. Key to me is creativity. And then I think the other thing is you're developing your own intellectual property. So unlike Star Trek, which is a great passion for Leo Roberts, and he'll continue down that path, the nice thing about Locally Grown, the nice thing about the feature film scripts we're creating, about the other things that we've co-produced on, is it's intellectual property that you own. And intellectual property has no shelf life. So it will go on forever and ever and ever. And if you can find ways to take that piece of work, whether it's something like a webisode that you're going to push out and you're going to pitch to, you know, all of these content providers now like YouTube and mm-hmm. Vimeo and all these others that are starting to see some potential money-based business models from, mm-hmm. or you can take your short or your featurette like Stop Requested and you can use it and create a bigger production packet for a larger feature film, which is what we're doing. And you can say to people, this is a calling card. You can see the quality of everything we do. So it really becomes a marketing tool to help you push forward. you're in a win-win-win.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating, you're fulfilling that passion, you have intellectual property tools as a marketer, which all of us have to be as indie filmmakers anymore,
mm-hmm.
and you're pushing it all forward and building more and more and more life to it as you're building it.
So what's your goal, getting a Hollywood deal to create a film or to sell these off?
It depends on the project. It's not black and or white for us. My day job for a long time has been marketing. Mm-hmm. My two partners, Simon Hamlin, has been in marketing and sales. And my other partner, Lisa Roser, is a graphic designer. So a lot of the graphic design and look and feel to Abundant and Locally Grown is thanks to her and one of our outside webmasters for Locally Grown. So with Locally Grown, we would very much like to either have the money-making model of video on demand coming through someplace like Netflix or YouTube or any of those that are moving in that direction. For something like Stop Requested, we do have a feature film called Entanglement, and we are creating a production packet around that to actually produce that particular script. So some scripts we write for potential sale. Some scripts we write to pitch and try to get investors so that we can produce them ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And other things like the web series with Locally Grown, we'll try to get that video on demand, but we'll also go and actively start pitching it as a TV show, because it is the true definition of what Hollywood always wants, which is give us the same thing, only different.
Right.
Locally Grown is very much aligned with things like Modern Family and Arrested Development and The Middle and a lot of TV shows that you see right now that are really hitting big, The Big Bang Theory, because we have so many freaks and geeks in Locally Grown.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an argument where we can go and say to these guys, this is the format that works for national television shows and for cable comedy shows, but it's a world that has never been explored before on television, much less on television in a comedy way like we do it. Because it's a little outlandish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are parts of it that are just, I have to say, I obviously I'm biased because I produced it and I provided some feedback on script structure and things like that. We took it through focus groups. I mean, we did the whole nine yards with this thing. But I was watching the final that we're burning to Blu-ray for the premiere last night online, and I'm still laughing at it, and I've been living with it for, you know, over a year now, a year and a half.
So. Man, I can't wait to see this. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I hope I'm not building it up too much. I thought it was funny, but, you know, it's me, so who knows?
Hey, that's what we run into with comedy all the time.
I mean, what of network cable shows that you're doing, what is comedy a thing that you love to begin with?
You know what? We're really versatile. I love
you, Lorraine.
Me. See, I always talk. See, now this one thing you'll learn about Lorraine is I speak mostly in the royal we, because I have that teammate mentality. But for me, I love it all. I mean, I love doing comedy. I love writing it. I love acting it. I love producing it. We have a feature film that I'm writing with my partner called Viv, which is a romantic comedy. It's about agoraphobic young woman who's been isolated all of her life. She has a Vivian Leigh complex. For those of you who don't know Vivian Leigh, that's the woman that was in Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Mm. And her mother dies off suddenly. She gets shipped off to these two wacky aunts that live in Seattle who she knows nothing about. But they're kind of like the Pigeon Sisters from The Odd Couple. They're very, they finish each other's sentences, and they've never been married, but men love them and just want to give them things and money and take care of them. They've been all over the world. They've been, you know, hunting in Africa, and they've got, you know, great game on their walls, and they're just wacky. And if they weren't rich, they wouldn't be called eccentric. They'd be called crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide that they're going to help Viv to get better and get over her complex.
Nice.
And they're going to figure out her treatment path. And the problem is she keeps running into all of these men that look just like Vivian Leigh's co-stars from Gone with the Wind and Streetcar Named Desire, and that
nice.
Tends to set her off. So we've got a comedy, we've got a suspense thriller, and
Lorraine,
I'm writing all of these.
Lorraine, you go home tonight and you go on Netflix. What are you going to watch?
What do I watch?
What do I watch?
I don't have time to watch anything. No, I watch, like, you know, if I'm going on to something like that, I do like Journey Quest, which is also a local production. It's really funny. I don't know if you've heard of Journey Quest.
No.
Oh, gosh.
It's a local production.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
You guys so need to get Journey Quest on here. They're like one of the biggest fan-driven, fan-funded web series and films out there. I mean, go look at their Kickstarter campaigns. They ended up with like 20, 30, 50, 200% over their campaign goals because they have built up their audiences and they have this amazing fan following. And it's funny. It's like it's fantasy meets comedy.
It's online?
Yeah, they're all fan-driven. They are producing a film right now, and as I have told them many times, the only mistake I think that they've made with the film, which may be a dire one, is that they didn't cast me in the role I auditioned for. but no, it's they're a really good group of people. So it's Dead Gentlemen Productions, Zombie Orpheus Entertainment, and the name of the web series is Journey Quest.
Zombie Orpheus?
Zombie Orpheus.
Orpheus.
Close.
Okay. It's like Orpheus. Zombie what kind Orpheus. Of films
yeah,
are these?
I was like, okay.
Adult film. I'm sorry. I was born on the border between New Mexico and Texas, so.
Do you watch a lot of, so do you watch a lot of web series? Do you think you watch more web series than you do?
No, I'm still, I tend to watch a little bit more TV than web series, I think. But honestly, I don't watch much of any of it. And I honestly don't go to see films, like, you know, because I'm busy doing. So it's really hard to get out and make that happen.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen Into Darkness yet.
I know, and it's hard. Like, I went and saw it at 10 a.m. in the morning. Like, I went, which I did.
Yeah.
I found out. Movie tickets are $6 if you go really
early.
Yeah,
dude, I gotta.
If you go before noon,
wow.
I was like, I never do that. So I'm like, well, I think I'm gonna do
that's
that.
That's my
now.
New thing. Yeah,
yeah. Because I had a gift certificate,
nice.
And then I went, but it was like a pass for any time.
Yeah.
So I went, and they're like $6. I'm like, well, I'm just gonna pay for that because I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna waste the pass.
My $20.
I had like $2 on a gift card.
Right. Was there anybody in the theater?
Yeah, it was a pack.
Really?
Because it was like, it was opening weekend, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was early, so, but all these people went early. I was more afraid of kids. But there weren't that many, it wasn't like Iron Man 3, which is extremely violent, yet full of kids in the audience.
Yeah, like a bunch of people brought
their
kids.
When I say
kids,
I'm talking like 5-year-olds. Like,
yeah.
Great.
Which I'm like, oh.
But a bunch of people brought their kids to Fast and the Furious. So I was like, it was a pretty violent movie, but I don't know. I guess, you know, people are getting shot up and everything
what
else.
At least Iron Man, I'm like, well, at least they have action figures. I guess there's probably Fast and Furious cars or
Can
something.
Can you imagine how much movie theaters would make if they would just open a small daycare to the side?
Right? Oh, man.
And like, because you're going to pay to go to the movies, mm-hmm. so why don't you open the daycare inside and charge them another $10 to
exactly.
let your child go in and be watched and play.
God, yeah, because people are just like, they don't, I don't know, inconsiderate, you know? When they're bringing their like infants,
well, like okay, the infant, I think it's wrong. Like it makes me really tense when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand their thinking where they're like, oh, my kid is, they're just gonna sleep through it
because
that's what they do. Because a lot of kids do.
Most of the kids do. Yeah.
But
you know how loud it is in there.
Yeah.
Kids, and, but kids sleep
sometimes
through anything.
Sometimes kids sleep through
they
it.
They can sleep through anything.
I've learned that, but it makes me tense because the baby does wake up sometimes.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is the 4 or 5-year-olds that. Will ask questions the whole time and will like, they're just, and I'm like, this is really detrimental. This is mm-hmm. not, you know, like studies have shown that violence in cinema media does affect children.
Hmm.
Yes.
Sex is not.
Wow.
They've shown that doesn't, that
but,
a,
but that's why
but violence
that's
does.
Why you have a rating system and you shouldn't have kids in the,
yeah.
Well, I'm guiding them, parental guidance. Like, ah, R should be, I think like, I guess those weren't R. They're PG-13, but
yeah.
I'm telling you, you make a mint. Just open a daycare like right inside the movie theater.
That'd be a great business model. You should pitch that.
Right.
I think you could make a lot of money with it. Lorraine. So where'd you get your start? What was when did you get into entertainment?
I've been in it all my life.
Oh, okay.
My mother was a professional dancer back in Tennessee.
Mm.
She danced with Donald O'Connor and Minnie Pearl and.
Almost
had the role of Darla in The Little Rascals, and
really?
Then got scarlet fever and couldn't take it.
Oh,
but she did that young thing during World War II and got married very, very young to a much older man. And
nothing wrong with that.
And
marry older men. That's what I say.
They were married for like 55 years.
So. Wow.
But yeah, so it runs in the veins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been acting and singing and dancing since I was a kid.
Wow.
Came up through theater,
mm-hmm.
went to college. There was a guy named Mark Medoff who wrote Children of a Lesser God and mm-hmm. Clara's Heart and lots of other very well-known things. He was the artistic director. And he won the Tony Award for Children while I was there, and I was part of everything that was going on with Building Children. And I just, from there, I went to Los Angeles for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And like Nietzsche says, that which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Well, so what made you move back?
Well, I'm originally from New Mexico, so I came up the coast. Mm-hmm. We chose Seattle because we wanted someplace more cultural. Mm-hmm. I mean, Los Angeles is just culturally barren, and it's just a very different, weird world down there. So it was either Chicago, New York, or Seattle, and I didn't want to do the weather in Chicago. And my husband didn't really want to move back east again because we would have been too close to his mother. So we moved to Seattle.
You know, I moved to Seattle from Northern California. I came to visit my parents, my dad and stepmother, and I opened up the theater section, and I saw all this stuff coming on. I'm like, this is amazing. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And then I moved up here, and then I was like, so I'm like, there's no work up here, it seems. And my friend was like, Seattle's for learning, not earning. Haven't you heard that? I'm like, what? But there's all this theater. And then I found out, like, oh, no, yeah, if you want to try to make money, you got to go to Chicago or New York. But that there wasn't really – I was like, what? Well, I'm here already.
Yeah.
And that's definitely an acceptable place, too.
I think it's changing, though. I mean, Seattle is – you know, I have a friend who here in town who's the programmer for Seattle True Independent Film Festival, STIFF, not mm-hmm. SIFF, STIFF.
Right.
And he was saying that they had a film come up from Los Angeles, and the filmmakers were like, oh, my God, we got a film in Seattle. Oh, my God, we get to go see Seattle in Seattle. Wow, everything that you guys are doing in film and transmedia and the web stuff is so amazing. And so, you know, we're getting on the map, and I think once we get the film model solidified for web entertainment and mm-hmm. web series model, business model solidified a little bit more, uh-huh. You're going to see Seattle start to make more money.
Do you think we'll start getting better tax breaks for...
I hope
he's
so.
He's learning every podcast.
I am.
He's like, that's remember right. in his last podcast, he's mm-hmm. like, tax breaks.
I hope so. I know that Amy Lillard at Washington Filmworks and that crew over there, they're just doing all they can, but they only have so much bandwidth. So mm-hmm. there has to be a lot of grassroots efforts and outreach to the film community, and Washington Filmworks is doing that now. And so is the City of Seattle Office of Film and Music, and now Shoreline's getting involved, and Renton's involved, and... You know, you got North by Northwest over in the Spokane area, so...
So I have a very random idea. We should do an Occupy movement, right? But we should do it like the Jets and just go sing down the street instead of, like, breaking stuff. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Yeah.
Like the Jets.
Like just, you know.
Yeah. You're going to get pepper spray.
And okay. Could we do, when you're a filmmaker all the way. It doesn't quite fit, but we'll figure out the rhythm, right?
That'd be awesome.
When you do film, you do film all the way from the last dying breath to your last dying day.
No, it was dance, dance, kick.
I think I think it's funny.
Jazz hands.
I never heard of some movement to Seattle for the multiculturalism.
Yeah,
like
dude, I'm from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Yeah, and then you're I was from in LA. Well, but come on, it's a low bar.
LA is rather
no.
Really? You don't think so? Like,
no,
does it seem like,
from what I've heard, like,
I don't
when
think
you,
it's multi-ethnic. I don't think it's multicultural.
Yeah.
There's no cultural. What very, culture,
very
gather?
Ritzy.
Your culture is, you know, how
well,
do
not
I look
one
in the
culture,
mirror
there's
and
a lot
me,
of
me, me, more for me? And
let me ask you. Okay, so I showed you a commercial, Cheerios commercial, when we got here.
Yeah, I love
we were
that
talking
commercial.
About it. Do you think that commercial is a big deal?
Well, I know where you guys are going with this, and I knew it when you showed it to me, because mm-hmm. I'm in marketing.
Uh-huh.
And I actually, the first time I saw that on TV, I thought it was pretty groundbreaking. Yeah. I thought it was my first thought, even though I really don't, you know, I'd like to be able to say I don't see color.
Uh-huh.
like any of us. Yeah, you know. But I remember my first thought was, wow, that was really cool. I don't think I've ever seen a commercial that showed a multiracial family before.
And for anyone who hasn't seen it, this Cheerios commercial starts off with this little girl, and it's made a bunch of news articles recently because it's in it turns out there's a black dad and a white mom
mm-hmm.
and a little mixed child,
uh-huh.
and there's no mention of it or anything. It's just a commercial, just a family having talking about breakfast, basically. Yeah, yeah. And it was so awesome. I showed it to my wife. She had no idea what I was talking about it being a big deal.
That's fabulous.
And I was saying, it's partly what I love about her. Yeah. Yeah. But that.
That would be so great if at the end it was just like, instead of Cheerios, it's like interracial Cheerios.
You'd have to get some darker Cheerios.
Yeah, exactly right. They're a little more tanned.
Would they be the chocolate ones? And
they would be.
Okay, well,
cinnamon on it.
I am not meaning for this to sound like a plug, but I do have to tell you that the pilot episode of Locally Grown is called The Profile.
That's awesome.
And it's all about a commentary on all of this type of thing.
That is sweet.
Which is really funny.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. We got to definitely watch it now.
It's pretty funny. We talk about the different tomatoes and black ones and yellow ones and tan ones. And it's quite funny.
How come nobody's picked the yellow ones? Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. The yellow ones are more mellow. The red ones are more aggressive. Shut up.
I did I was telling
one of the red ones.
I was just telling Manny, too, about a commercial I saw the other night that was a black businesswoman in a hotel, and she's Skyping her son. And I turned to my wife, and I was like, holy crap, this is actually amazing. She's like, what? I'm like, that's besides clearly a working mother, not at home, like away. She's on a business trip. This woman's in a powerful position. And it's also a black woman. I was like, this is amazing. I don't think I've ever seen this before. Mm-hmm. And she's like, huh, she hadn't really. It's great. It's funny. She studied multiculturalism.
Wait, your mom?
Like her major. No,
Wait,
my
who?
Wife.
Oh, sorry.
But yet she doesn't notice color. She used to always play with the brown dolls, too, when she was growing up, apparently.
And I think that it's, it's really interesting. I mean, some people truly cannot notice color, but for us to, any of us to sit there and say that we're not prejudiced, we don't have prejudices or bias, it just doesn't work that way,
yeah.
I mean, and I'll find myself, doing it with certain generalities sometimes, like when I'm in the car, especially, and I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
One particular culture, I just, but I can't go there in my head because I'm like, no. I've gone through, I'm doing institutional racism workshops and classes, and institutional racism is, you could spend, hours just talking about that, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But I think it's good we're moving more in that direction. And I do believe that, your child's generation really won't be a big deal.
This is what tripped me out. And I don't know why this last week has blown me up. My six-year-old daughter, so we have this friends coming over. We're having a little barbecue. And they're bringing their six-year-old daughter. And her daughter's, her name's Suki. Mm. And I was like, my daughter's like, Suki? What's that? I'm like, well, it's like, I was like, it's an Asian name. And you're like, and she's like, what? And I'm like, Asian, like Asian people? Like, and she's like, no. And I'm like, well, they look different. The Asian's different than like other. I'm like, so like we went to Google and I typed in like Asian faces and I had all these images. And I was like, do you see how like Asian looks different than like me or you? And she's like, and then she's like, well, the eyes have a little thing.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah. Okay, so that's like in the Asian look, like the whole thing. And then later on, we went to Folklife the next day. And we're this really black, like African black kid comes by and like runs away. And she just noticed him. And I'm like, do you think that kid's Asian? And she's like, no. I'm like, what is she? And she goes, a person.
Oh.
I'm like, oh.
And
I said, are you saying Asians aren't people? You little punk. You are grounded.
No. I didn't say that. Oh, that's so cool.
But I was just like, cool. And I was like, high fives here. She's high fiving. I'm like, she does not understand. I've been the one to bring up color to her in the past to try to go. She used to cry because the kids said she was darker.
Hmm.
And she had dark skin. And she's like, I don't want dark skin. I was like, until I pointed out her Grammy. Your Grammy's really dark.
Well, and it's also the inference that the kid put on the word darker for skin. I mean, you guys can't see me, but I'm a ginger and I'm like, red hair and freckles and I don't tan and I'd give anything for naturally darker skin. You people that get to, first of all, you people like Manny, you don't even have to worry about tanning. And you, Silas, you go out and I bet you in the sun in 5 minutes, this gorgeous.
When I went to Mexico, it was great.
Except
when I tried to leave the border, they checked every orifice because they thought I was a runaway.
Right? It's crazy. It's funny how my friends just like burn in the sun and they have to be, so careful about it.
Thank you.
I actually sunburned for the first time when I went to Mexico for the honeymoon. It was like, I was like, what? It's like, holy crap, what is this? I've never done this, but I've been outside.
Yeah, when I went to the Caribbean, I didn't put on sunscreen once. I probably should have, but I didn't get burned.
It's called a weakening ozone layer and climate change.
Exactly.
You know, that climate change thing that's not happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Just ask the people of Oklahoma.
Exactly.
They know.
No.
They know all about it.
Yeah.
Well, I just figured the ozone, that's the way that we get rid of the white people.
This guy.
It's a slow process.
Well,
but you got to play the long game. The long game is what you play.
It's true, right? Because if you think about it, we all originated from Africa in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's getting further away from the motherland that's caused us to
that's true.
Be like all wimpy white like me.
It's your punishment.
Can't take it. It's our punishment.
They're finding cures for everything. They have a new thing for melanoma. So,
nice.
Pretty interesting.
What's it called? Shade?
Could be.
SPF 35.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, it's cool to think, you know, it's cool to think that in, you know, our kids' like lifetime that it'll be, you know, even being gay won't be a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Like last month she told me, Daddy, did you know that a girl can marry a girl? And it's okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. I guess I know who you were hanging out with. Which I did. I was like, oh, I guess when she finally realized that they're married. Yeah, she finally realized they're married.
Yeah. And that's the thing I love is, like, one of my coworkers, you know, he was talking about, he's gay. And he was talking about, you know, getting married and having a kid. You know, but it was funny how they were talking about how they were going to pick whose DNA to use and stuff. I don't know. It's
Dude, what did I just watch?
That was a little more complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever watch Arrested Development?
Yes, I love Arrested
Okay, I'm just catch. I never had watched it before, so I'm just watching them now. Yeah. And I got to the one where they.
Never watched it.
They were going to have an adopted these two gay cops.
Yeah.
One's black and one's white.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they were having a surrogate done, but they just had the DNA mixed up because they wanted to never know who the father was.
That's.
That's so stupid. That's the guy I was like.
Well, what they have to do is find a woman who is mulatto to do
that. Right, but they had a white.
They need a mixed race woman.
Yeah, there you go.
And really, if you really want to be fair, she really should have some Asian in her, or maybe some
Middle Eastern,
or Native American, Indian, something. Just so you just mix the whole thing up right in there.
Right.
Don't make her word beautiful. That's why I found it like it's. I feel like it was my duty to marry a white woman. So that we can help spread the mixture. And that's why when I remarried another white woman.
Agreed.
Because really.
I'm going to marry one.
Yeah, so. Because that way, not only do you show you're successful, but then you also, you know, help spread the color around.
Okay, well, I want to get back to the successful remark. But before I
I know what he commented on that.
I'm a white woman, and I still am not sure about that comment. But, you know, you're doing what the English used to do over in Scotland, you know, when they would, you remember, in Braveheart, they would, you know, the Scots would marry, and then the English guy would get to write her first to make sure that.
Wow, that is crazy.
Remember?
See? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Oh, so, like in Braveheart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen
it. I know that because
of Braveheart. Welcome to the subjugation of the white man's world. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now you are now the subjugator instead of the subjugatee.
That's right.
You know, the next thing you know, you guys, we're going to have a black president in office. That's going to be just like, my God.
Wait, actually, you know, when we do have the first mixed couple.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Oh, that'll be cool, too.
When it's like, yeah.
And the first female president. We
I'm excited for that.
Could she be mixed race, female, and LGBT?
That would be awesome.
That would be so awesome. And married.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And married to an old white guy.
That would be awesome. She's just abusive and beats him every day. It's like, oh, my God.
No, he has to take on the first lady duties.
That would be awesome.
That would be totally awesome.
I do look forward to that.
I do, too.
The first man. I wonder, you know, like, let's say, for instance, like, you know.
When they say the Hillary.
Hillary. But would Bill.
Well, at least then we would get our first lesbian president.
That's true.
That's when she'd come out. She'd be like, fine.
I'm
finally president.
You cannot blame her for at least being bisexual if the dude can't keep it in his pants.
Exactly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Bill. He was my president. But dear God in heaven, take it out of the Oval Office and throw the cigars away afterwards. It's just not.
Bill,
wouldn't the worst have been like if she was like, when he's like, oh, I've been having an affair with Monica, and she's like, I've been having an affair with Monica.
Me that
too.
Would be awesome.
Holy shit. Okay, we better make this like a, we better have like a fit.
Oh,
about
man.
This.
Now we're talking the polyamory route. I like yeah. it.
So kind of switching gears, I heard that After Earth was a huge bomb.
Oh my gosh.
Huge flop.
I've heard that yeah. from so oh, many, really? Like not just yeah. critics, but also like fans.
The people want
like,
to go see it?
Like, aww. Yeah, people that are reviewing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Or just regular people like, yeah, not good. There's nothing really redeeming about it. It's neat seeing Will Smith is doing a different thing.
Yeah.
He's not being funny man in it. He's actually mm-hmm. a more stoic kind of character. But yeah. it's mostly Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
They're communicating through like a headset. So
oh, okay.
they're separated. So you don't.
Oh, so in other words, he said, son, I'm going to create a lead man acting vehicle for you.
Basically.
So you can get launched.
And they just saying, and somebody was saying that they enjoyed him. They thought Karate Kid, he made Karate Kid. They
yeah,
thought, they
he was great in
him.
Karate Kid.
That this is not, he couldn't pull it out of this.
Mm-hmm.
He's still at a point that he needs other people to act with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Make something
aww,
work.
Well.
Was he the one in Will Smith played the dad.
Yes.
Oh, Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of
Happiness. That was him. Yeah.
Love that movie.
I feel like I wonder what's going on in his oldest kid's mind because he was never in anything. I mean, he was just in that music video. Remember?
That wasn't that.
He may
same
not.
One.
Maybe he
no.
just doesn't want to do it.
No, it's a different one. Well, yeah, he probably doesn't want to do it. But the little kid in that video is.
I thought that was Jaden.
No, that was his first from his first marriage. And
oh,
then
what?
Jaden and Willow
oh, Jaden
are from Jada Pinkett.
Oh.
Which makes it Jaden. That
yeah,
makes sense. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Been Willow.
Man. She whips her hair.
Exactly.
She whips her hair.
So, okay, yeah. So they named Willow after Will, I'm guessing. And then they named Jaden after Jaden.
Oh, there
I
you mean, go. Ooh, you're
I never,
a smart
I just
man, Manny.
Put it together
nice.
After you.
I thought see. They named it after the movie Willow.
That, well.
That's why I said Willow.
They looked at Willow. And she looked like Will, and they're like, Will, ooh, or oh. Will, oh.
Shit.
Yeah, they looked at her and went, Will, ooh.
Oh.
That couple breaking up was sad for me.
Who?
Jada and Will.
They're still together.
They're still
they're
together.
They're back together?
They've been
well,
together.
They were breaking up. They had announced the breakup.
When?
Not those two.
Man, was this in the Inquirer?
It was like a year ago.
Rumor has it
that they're
kind
like
of in a polyamory
yeah,
type
or, yeah.
swinger relationship.
Open
situation.
Relationship.
What?
Open yeah. relationship.
They had
yeah.
said. Well, they had said. I remember because I remember this interview with him saying like they had decided that whatever it takes, they're going to make this work. That divorce
yeah.
was not an option.
Yeah.
Google
well, you know what?
Right.
When you've been married, wow, that's
pretty
a
much the same
that's
thing,
a Freudian
right?
slip. When you've been married for a really, really, really long time, you know, if you have a lot of love and respect for each other, couples tend to move in that direction.
No,
not all couples, but a lot of couples.
It's funny, yeah. We went to high school with this couple, and they were together since high school, and I think they became a swinger couple. And mm-hmm. it's just like, I guess, whatever, just spice it up. I don't know, though. I couldn't just be like, oh, so you're going to go hang out with that guy tonight? It'd be
have you
weird
guys,
for me. I couldn't.
Either of you watched yeah. House of Cards?
Uh-uh.
Oh, no, I want to see it, though. I love Kevin Spacey.
It's a power couple.
Ah.
He plays a power couple, that is.
So it's basically Bill and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Well, except she's not into politics. She does other stuff, but they do sort of have a thing where he strays off and he comes back in the morning
mm-hmm.
and she just says to him, oh, was it this person? I said, yeah. And she goes, what's she going to do for us?
Oh, wow.
And he explains.
So she's ruthlessly
she's like,
ambitious.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
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 Like it's like
yeah,
as long
well,
as it,
yeah,
it's helping
yeah.
out this couple.
You know okay. what? I think you know it goes back to like you know being gay and the whole gay marriage thing and everything else. As long as you're a bunch of consenting adults, I don't
exactly.
It's nobody's business. I mean, we have a really large polyamory community here in Seattle. Do you guys know what that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, but a lot of them are ugly.
No,
this guy.
Man, you don't know the same people I know in that community. No, but, you know, the thing is that it's not, I mean, I know a lot of people in it. I'm not in it, but I've talked to a lot of people about it. Teresa Greenan's a filmmaker in town. She did a whole web series on it,
mm-hmm.
And she is in one of those
wait, she wasn't in the, not the Showtime one? Was she?
No,
she's, okay.
she has an, the name escapes me, but.
A fictional one?
Yeah.
So it's a fictional. Okay.
Well, it's fictional, but it is based on her life.
Okay.
And her current polyamory situation, and she lives with two men.
Wow.
And. they also have relationships outside of that particular thing. And she's talked about, because they were actually getting ready to adopt a child. Oh. Now, you think it's hard for a gay couple to figure out what to do with the child. Well, they didn't want to adopt. She actually wanted to have the child. So, yeah. So that, and she talked about the discussions that she would have with her first husband and then her second mm-hmm. partner, because of course she can't marry that partner, but mm-hmm. And I can't remember which of those two guys wanted the baby, but they had to bring the third person into it.
My head's
in the
gonna
house.
Explode. Yeah. This is weird. And I mean, not but why? Well, it is.
Is that any weirder than a gay couple? Why?
There's a lot of people, and I don't know, like who's raising. Is it a community raising the kid?
Oh, I need to quote it? Really?
No, no, yeah, it doesn't exactly. take. No, I mean, wondering.
Manny and I looked at each other at the same time and went, dude.
No, no, I know.
We know he's going to make that connection. Is it a community? Just giving him a chance.
Is it a community raising? But, it takes a village, but that's different than, like, are you taking the whole.
Well.
My question is, is the second husband in the, are they basically committed
non-paper? That was the discussion. Well, that's a good question.
It's not paper, but
I know
I'm here for life.
I can't answer that, but they could. So, yes, is it going to be a situation where she has the child with the one who's the natural father and then the other father also adopts? I don't know. I don't know how all of that would work. But what she was saying to me was those conversations are taking place between the three of them, because whether the other, if the other person just says, I just can't stand having a baby in the house, then that has to be taken into consideration. If the other person says, I'd love to have a baby and I'd love to help, or you guys can have the baby and I don't mind him in the house, but I don't really want, I'll be like the supporting kind of uncle person. I mean, it's a very complex situation.
It takes a half hour for me and my wife to decide to go where to eat. I can't imagine adding another person into that.
Right.
Oh. My God. It'd be like if you're with another couple sometimes and no one like wants to say where to eat. Oh.
Well, but there's certain like guidelines, that you sort of follow. And I think I don't care if it's, you've got 15 people that you're in a some kind of group family situation, whether it's extended or you're all together or whatever, or whether you're, the two regular heterosexual people that are in that couple, it all comes down to love and respect and
communication. Do you want something that's really going to blow your mind?
Yeah.
They have a new technique where they are mapping. They take three parents and they put it all together and they make the DNA
for
the baby.
That's like
there you go.
Hey, that's like GMO corn, and I'm not for that. So you have GMO kids.
Pretty much.
That's great. Okay, just coming from a divorced house now. With my wife, my wife here, and then my ex-wife, and her boyfriend, dealing. Well, and actually, it's more just my ex-wife because the boyfriend doesn't live there or anything.
Yeah.
My daughter has a really hard time as it is.
Right.
So though she wants us all in one house,
mm-hmm.
but what if but that's the thing. As far as the kid goes, they are all in one house.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm like, she's so confused. I don't know. There's so many problems.
She's confused because you're a divorced couple. Yeah. If you were all living together happily as an extended family in the same house, there wouldn't be any confusion on her part.
Maybe.
No.
It's always on the part of the adults, and it always comes down, like everything else, to ego. And what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with and what you will allow yourself to break through your ego to accept and what you will not.
Lorraine needs her own talk show. That was on point, though.
Thoughts become things,
right?
Man. It's the law of attraction. What you can, one of the things, I suffer from depression. I have all of my life. And one of the things that took me till my 40s to realize when I got involved with law of attraction is I have the ability to control my emotions and create my own reality through the thoughts that I am channeling.
Well, I watched Star Trek. I knew that from Spock.
But Spock does it without emotion.
Controls.
See, we have to learn how to do it.
No, he doesn't do it without emotion. He controls his emotion.
That's true.
That's the misnomer about Vulcans.
That's true. Because
people are very prejudiced against Vulcans.
That's true.
I am sick of that.
That's true.
They control their
emotions.
Maybe
one of these days we'll have a Vulcan president.
Oh, that would be pretty sweet.
And he could be LGBT.
Obama's pretty close.
He does have kind of pointy ears.
Well, we are trying to go to Mars. I wonder who will be the first Martian president.
That's interesting.
I'm not sure that I would really want to be president of Mars.
Neither would I. There's
or the moon. It would be really boring.
I'd say if I landed there, if I was the first person, I'd be like, I am president.
I would be, yeah, forever.
I'm not coming back.
I'm ruler.
President for life.
Exactly.
What was that movie? I just saw part of that, Red Planet. It's like not a great movie, but like
weird.
they were trying to terraform it, and there was actually a little bit of air on it, and they didn't realize it, and then they took off their masks and like, oh, they can actually breathe.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, I can live here. I'm president now.
Yeah.
We're not going
back. Thought they found a rat on Mars this week. So
what?
Yeah. But it was just a rock. You know how your eyes play tricks.
It's like it's probably from the rover.
Probably.
It's ridden.
Yeah.
It seems like they'd be more likely to find a cockroach.
Yeah, that's what I would think. You know, they last through everything, so.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll ever find anything.
There's a movie coming out this summer about like a trip to Jupiter.
Huh.
Finding life. It looks crazy good.
Cool.
This is my my magic movie summer. Yeah. There's so many movies out that
Man of Steel, 2 weeks, right? 3 weeks.
That looks good too, I gotta say. Although every time I see a Superman movie come out, I cringe because of the curse.
Ugh.
Huh?
The last one.
You don't know about the Superman curse from the early 50s and the
people dying.
Right?
Yeah, he killed himself, and then I think the woman that played, what's her name, Lois Lane,
bad thing. Most of the people in that era killed himself.
Well, that's true, but then you got the stuff that came out after that with Christopher Reeves and Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
So
what happened to Margot Kidder?
She got diagnosed as manic depressive, and
she's crazy.
She's better now.
She's an actor. There we go.
Yeah.
Are you trying
to say every actor is manic depressive?
No, I'll say every artist is manic depressive. Yeah.
I'd say we're a little crazy.
We're all a little,
Yeah.
But we're if we're not diagnosed, we're just undiagnosed.
Let me tell you guys something interesting, speaking of which. One of the reasons why we're writing this feature film called Entanglement, it's all about quantum entanglement. Do you guys know what that is? Fascinates me.
What is it?
It's based on quantum physics, and it essentially is, through quantum physics, it's the way that they're now being able to theorize how some people can see ghosts, can talk to those beyond in another realm, do things like that.
So like,
or get haunted or do things like that.
Premonitions, things like that. I have crazy, like I've had that for years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of us have those talents. Like I'm a dreamer. I do a lot of that weird stuff where I communicate with the dead through my dreams sometimes, which is interesting. But what they're finding is that the quantum entanglement comes through, I'm not going to define this scientifically correctly, so forgive me for paraphrasing, but there are certain areas in your brain that have a slightly higher function level. And most of the time, the people that are experiencing that are highly creative individuals. And they don't know if it's because their brains are working at a little bit different, higher level, or if it's because they are more open and sensitive naturally to receiving this stuff. But they're really trying to track that stuff down in the brain and figure out what's going on. So part of that artistry, you know, the artist being crazy is the fact that maybe it's because we are actually
in tune with something
hooked
else.
A little bit into some other type of alternate perception or reality that some of those regular,
you know,
what would
be interesting
see.
To find. I wonder, you know, since the brain's like a muscle, like the use it or lose it aspect, you know, for a while there, like I swear I was having like premonitions every few weeks, right, where you have a dream about something, then it happens. But then it's like, I don't know, I feel like I got away from creativity, just started working the 9-to-5, and I had less and less, you know what I mean, of those dreams. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, so it might be. Yeah, it might be. It might be like the more you open yourself up to the creativity through meditation or practice, the higher that you pull that in.
Yeah.
I just finished reading a really cool book called Quantum Minds or Entangled Minds, and it's a hard book to get through because it reads like somebody's thesis basically for a doctorate. But what this guy, he used to be actually a remote viewer for the Army. I don't know if you guys know what they are. So remote viewers are actually those that are highly in tune to the ability to view remotely through a psychic channel. And the Army uses them and has used them very commonly and frequently since like the early 1970s. And they still do it. And he was on this high intelligence remote viewing list, and they would do remote viewing. He was doing it during the Cold War with Russia. And so afterwards, he kind of wrote this book, and he's the one that talks about really this entanglement in ways that really kind of pull it out and make
crazy
a case for it.
Because it's like I've always kind of thought this, right? So it's like, sure, you have premonitions, or like, even let's say you were to know the future, but like, I know there's alternate realities when people talk about that, but if you knew something was going to happen, you prevent it, then it doesn't happen.
Right.
Then how would you ever, you know, have dreamed about it before? How would you have known about it before if you prevent it from happening? So.
Well, but I think the whole point, it goes back again to the law of attraction, and like energy attracts like energy, and mm-hmm. thoughts become things. So if somehow you're pulling into a premonition, the whole point may be that you're, you know, I'm not a religious person, I'm very spiritual. So mm-hmm. your higher self, mm-hmm. may very well be trying to pull in and send you some messaging that will allow you to attract something different that you are attempting to attract but aren't necessarily aware on a conscious level of how to do it. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's how premonitions work. Yeah. I mean, they're not set in stone, and the future isn't set in stone because we're creating it every day. Yeah.
Tell her about the, what you call it, when you were in the...
Hit the mic a few more times.
Sorry.
So
we
can keep
it. I just
there
did it,
go.
Too.
I
feel bad.
Tell her about when you were stuck in the, what, were you in the ocean or the sea?
Oh, I've had two moments in my life that I had out-of-body experiences,
oh.
and they're both in the water. Ooh. And I remember them particularly...
It's his black side freaking out and just like, we can't swim. So
one was in L.A., I was on a beach at the beach, and I was out away from my mom and her friends, and you know, the waves were coming up, but not that bad. And then there's one, I turned around and there was a big wave and it knocked me down, and I saw myself in the water spinning around for like just a few seconds, whatever. And then I popped up. The next thing I knew, I was popping up out of the water. And I was freaked out, and I just kind of walked straight back. Because they're random, you know, you'll get a bunch of smooth waves, just mm-hmm. little waves, and then a big one will come just mm-hmm. randomly. Mm-hmm. I just had been watching my mom, and so that's why I hit it. And they didn't see me when this happened. Mm-hmm. So then I just kind of walked back and sat on my towel and sat there, and I never talked about it. And then about, I don't know, it was like 6 years later, I was in at a lake, I think it was Whiskeytown Lake or Shasta Lake in California. And my dad was coming in to dock the boat. We were coming into the little island we were camping at. And I jumped off the boat without saying anything or telling them. And I hit the water, and then I saw myself underneath kicking away from like the motor Ooh. Of the boat. And then when I got up, my dad got up and just started yelling at me because yeah. He hadn't turned the motor
scared.
Off.
Yeah.
And he was like, you can't jump without telling them. Oh, I don't know. And I was like, okay. And I was just kind of freaked out thinking about it. And I think I told them about it later. And
so
I
let
was
me
like,
ask you a question.
Yeah.
The feeling that you had when you were out of your body, what did it feel like?
I don't remember a particular feeling. I just remember I remember literally tripping out that I'm watching this and going,
yeah.
holy crap.
But and it was just like a third-party observer kind of feeling,
yes, it
right?
was like I was okay. just watching
you know, it's
a
interesting.
Film.
Yeah.
I remember it being kind of seeming slow.
Watching a film, yeah.
It was slow.
Yeah. I had a similar experience several years ago. I don't know what happened, but I basically ended up in the emergency room with really, really awful stomach pains. And I was literally there for like 12 hours because they couldn't get my blood pressure stabilized. And they were giving me these really major drugs that they give to chemo patients for anti-nausea. And then I had Dilaudid. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
Mm,
it
what's
is that? A super fun, fabulous painkiller that's also incredibly addictive. So you only get it if it's,
yeah.
you know, you're in kind of rough shape. And they do it through an intravenous. And so long story short, about halfway through that whole thing, my blood pressure was crashing out, and I was in so much pain, and I was waiting for them to come back and give me some more medication. And I just remember at one point I pulled out of my body, and I was there in the room. I wasn't necessarily looking down on my body, but I was also in this little room that was a library. It was like a circular room, and I was in this very, very comfortable chair. Huh. And I was reading this book, and it was the Book of Lorraine. And I was reading it and reading what was happening to me in the hospital. And then I went, huh, I wonder if this is the end of Lorraine. And I knew that if it was the end of the book, while I would be sad, mm-hmm. I would simply close the book, put it on the shelf, and pick another book, bring it down, and start reading it.
Wow, I just got chills.
And then I pull back his
Have you shot this?
No.
That's a great little...
Yeah.
No. That sounds like a great scene in a...
It's actually interesting. You know Ralphie May? Like, he's a comedian, and he's an overweight guy, but he's, you know, been on the table, and they've pronounced him dead twice. But he said when it happened, he said he was like... He said it felt like somebody was pulling him out of his body, mm-hmm. and he turned around, and he could see himself on the table. And he said it was just the weirdest thing. So twice he said he felt that, but who knows, man.
I think it looks a lot worse for the people that are being left behind. My sister is a nurse, and... you know, of course, you never want to go through a terminal illness because it's just awful and painful. But one of the things that she likes to tell relatives of people that are dying, or loved ones, people, is that when they're in those last death throes, you can almost look at it as if they're being, those are their labor pains for being rebirthed into a new world. Because we don't know as babies right before we come out, we don't remember what kind of trauma we experience, but it can't be fun to be in this beautifully safe, dark place where every single need is taken care of and you feel nothing but you know, contentment and love, and then be pushed out into the world, into the bright lights and the oxygen. And so who knows what that feels like when you're going through labor for 12 hours and you're on the inside. It's not fun for the mother, I tell you that.
All right, couple questions.
We got so deep.
I know, right? I love it.
Near the end of if you had a choice of superpowers, invisibility or flying?
I fly a lot in my dreams, so flying. I love to fly in my dreams.
Okay.
I've actually gotten out of this universe once, and it was the most amazing feeling of my life.
That's awesome.
DC or Marvel?
Oh, crap. I can't make that decision, man.
Superman or Wolverine?
Wolverine.
Ooh, okay.
He's my man.
There you go. So
he gave me shivers even as the comic. I was
like, before Hugh Jackman? Or,
I like a little wild side to my men.
No, Marvel or DC? Only one can exist. What do you choose?
I don't know.
It sounds like Marvel. I mean,
Marvel. I guess. You know, growing up, it was Archie comics. So, what do you want from me?
Archie. I pick number three.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the Kobayashi Maru.
All right.
I get your question, and I will.
Now, before you tell me the next question, I have something that's going to make you salivate. I went to Goodwill the other day, and sitting on their wall was this beautifully framed, perfect mint condition. Comic strip of old school Star Trek where Spock and Kirk are fighting each other.
Wow.
And it's like, it's all the little, and they've got it framed out in all the little different strips going all the way down the thing.
That is awesome.
I don't know why anybody gave that up.
Yeah. God, people give up the, like, gems. I don't know. Like, what's wrong with that?
Right.
People are wrong.
Yes.
All right. What's that next question?
Luke Skywalker or Han Solo?
Oh, Han Solo. Luke's a whiny ass. Leia, why? Way. You're my sister. I know. Really? Did you know when I kissed you, you kinky ass little donut head?
Oh, I love it.
Kirk or Spock?
Well, that's a toss-up because I think, you know, Spock probably because he's not as good in bed because he doesn't have the emotion things going. But Kirk has screwed with so many bitches, and I don't know if he used any condoms. So.
Exactly.
Can I have Picard?
There's no
I take Picard.
There's
no
STDs Picard, in the future.
He's what?
No STDs in the future.
You don't know what those green bitches have. There may not be STDs in the human race, but come on.
Exactly. We can't cure that,
sure
Jim.
They don't transfer.
Not to mention that he's got freaking alien kids all over the... I don't want to... You know, those green bitches coming to him saying, I want my child support.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I had octuplets. Oh, shit.
See?
Yeah.
That would get you your funding for the next Star Trek.
Yes.
If you had a character that just kept saying, you green bitches, I am sick of you with all the green bitches.
Oh, who's your favorite captain from Star Trek?
Picard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hands down. Honestly, and what's her name? Janeway doesn't count at all. I'm sorry. That was just a hot, embarrassing mess.
You know what? Some people said that who they put Voyager as their favorite.
Really?
What? It's,
and I was like, how can you put it above TNG?
What is wrong with you people? Haven't you seen her hair when she started out? She looked like it was from the Victorian era. And I am sorry, but come, I mean, I'm sorry. I would have been a better captain. I would have. I'm sorry. I just would have.
I could see you being a captain.
I could kick ass.
Man, it was make that happen.
Maybe I got a little green bitch in
there.
Me.
You go.
Well, you could. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Play your cards right.
That's right, baby. We've left.
I'm thinking about Voyager. I was also thinking about all the stuff with Captain Janeway.
You had a brain fart with Voyager. That's why you can't think
Captain
of that.
Captain Janeway. Well, somebody was really upset about how in Star Trek Nemesis, you know, Captain Picard's still Captain Picard, and he talks to Admiral Janeway, and they're like, how did she become an admiral before Picard? They were just really upset about that. How is that possible? Like, maybe because he destroyed half the fleet when he was a Borg. I don't know.
Well, or maybe because he could have turned it down. Sure, I mean, look how many times James T. Kirk turned it down. So it may just be he wanted to stay with his ship, which would make more sense because she was an ambitious climbing bitch anyway. So.
Ambitious climbing.
I'm kidding. I really love Kate Mulgrew. I just hated her in that role. I think she's a fabulous actress.
She just set down the female movement in Star Trek.
That's all right.
20 years.
They're aliens.
Yeah, I did it. It wasn't the short skirts and the TNA and the nakedness and all the films.
Original. You know what? The original one, I did not realize. Been watching some old ones. How sexist they were.
Yeah.
Besides the short skirt, like Captain Kirk has a line like, when I get my hands on whoever gave me a female yeoman.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, wow. Like, what?
Yeah, and then he ends up wanting to do her later anyway. So
yeah.
Typical.
Then Khan, the way he treats... the woman in Space Seed, like he's really like the women, they're still portrayed as a bit fragile. You know, they're not like in TNG where they're just like, no, I'm an admiral and I'll kick your ass, Picard.
Yeah.
Or Data's gonna be a toaster. Gone. This is how it is. They're just like they are in
they're
every other series.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Watching
but that's changing. And you know, I wanted to go back to something you said way earlier in the podcast when we were talking about. You're starting to see, you know, these shows with these ambitious women of power and all that. Do you know why that's happening? Because as a marketing person, I can tell you. The demographic for web entertainment has always been men, 18 to 35 or 40-ish. Mm-hmm. That is rapidly being taken over by women. And women are now moving ahead of men in the couples race of the couples game of who makes the most money. Mm-hmm. Women are starting to actually move ahead of men, and more men are taking on that stay-at-home dad role with kids. And so the reason that you're seeing more TV shows with women, you're going to see more web series, you're going to see stronger female characters all the way around, is because that buying power and that purchasing power is now weighting toward those income earners.
It's still not that on traditional network TV, though.
It's moving forward with that. If you see things like Mike and Molly, who has which I frankly don't like. I love her as an actress, but I just don't. I think the writing in the series is terrible. You've got a major female character there. You've got two or three other sitcoms that have come out with major female characters in them. Whitney is another one.
Mm-hmm.
How to Live with Your Parents for the Rest of Your Life is another one. And the female characters that you are seeing in things like Modern Family and Arrested Development are really strong characters. They're not like those supportive Donna Reed roles.
Right.
And you're going to see more of a trend toward that as that buying and purchasing power switches because, you know, as filmmakers, we may be interested in making, you know, a movie about a duck, but a duck doesn't buy things. And so you can put that movie out there, but ultimately, if you really want to try to get something picked up, you have to think about that side of the coin. That's why they call it show business. And indie filmmakers cringe every time I say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to have to give you that news, but it's one of the reasons I've been so successful as a filmmaker over the past several years and why you hear about projects that are coming out of Seattle, because those filmmakers that get the marketing portion of it understand that it has to go hand in hand with everything else that you're doing. Because ultimately, what good is a story if nobody watches it?
Yeah.
And see, I guess I thought it was partly also because of getting more female writers on staffs to write the
female
I think
that's
parts
a good point,
because
too.
I think, like, okay, somebody's been sending me a script that I'm helping them, giving them feedback on the script.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed on the last draft he brought sent me. I said, the only reason, you only have one female character, the only reason she exists is to fuck the other guy. That's the only reason. She has no other role in the has no other role in the thing. I don't think it even occurred to him, because I think his life is dominated as with guys and around guys, and that's what he writes.
Mm-hmm.
He was just writing that. He didn't even think about it. And I think that's probably been a case with a lot of, not that people were, you know, sexist or whatnot. They're just, it's just not even occurring to them because they're writing their life and they need to get women on staff in order to write women roles.
Well, right. Yes and no. I mean, I mean, women have been writing male roles forever. So, yeah. I mean, they do need to expose themselves to more of that female voice. And oftentimes I will, even if I write male characters, I will go back to a male friend and say, is this sounding true?
Mm-hmm.
We have another script we're doing right now, and it's an all African-American cast. And so I have a friend of mine who I am going to and saying, Is this working? Does this sound right? Culturally, do we want to go this way or this way? And she's giving me a lot of feedback to help make sure that that voice is true. But
why did you wait till an hour 10 to say that you're writing an all black show?
I didn't. It's one of those features.
Any
that
halvesies
we're doing
in there?
Any halvesies?
Yeah.
Halvesies as in you want
half black.
You want half black. Oh, halfies. Like, halvesies? What do you want halvesies of?
Halvesies.
Well, it's yes, possibly. Yes, possibly.
All right. Well, thanks for having Lorraine.
No, it's I can't tell you too much about it, only because this is one of those shows that, mm-hmm. that when it does take off, it's going to take off. I can talk to you more about it off the air. But we do have interest from Los Angeles producers, African-American production company down there, who has some ins to some pretty high-level folks.
Wow.
So, but it's the same kind of thing. I mean, just going back to the point is, if you're going to be a writer,
mm-hmm.
expand yourself. And it's a great thing that he's coming to you, and that he's coming to someone who can help him and say, mm-hmm. and push back, and that he's open to that pushback in whatever you're doing. You should bring him into Playground.
Well, he hasn't
talked
to me since. So,
well, then
no, he's in LA right now. So, yeah. Okay, so we can find local TV.
LocallygrownTV.com. Or you can go to abundantproductions.net and see all of our fabulous stuff. And you can find Abundant Story Playground on Facebook. It is a group you do have to request to get in.
I can't like it?
No, it's not a fan page. It's a group.
Can't I like it?
you can like it in the group.
Okay.
I had to set it up as a group versus a fan page because those Facebook fan pages are not, they're really limited.
Yeah.
And this way I'm able to share out and pull people in. But it's, everybody can come and watch it. It is growing. So if you do come as an actor or a writer the first time, I encourage you to come and just see what we're doing. It's free. We travel the local libraries one Sunday out of every month from 1:30 to 4:30. I believe the one at the end of June is in West Seattle.
Mm.
But just ask to join the group. I'll throw you in it. We talk about writing a lot. We talk about creating that story. And then we have professional actors there to assist you. You can bring in an actual written script. You can bring in the outline of a scene that you want improv'd. Or you can bring in a combination of those two things. And we'll work our magic for you. You really have to experience it to understand it and the uniqueness of what we can offer and what it will do for you as writers.
That sounds amazing.
And actors, frankly, because the professional actors get to dig deep with other professional actors and work on a scene for 10 or 15 minutes with the camera going and nothing else but just working on that scene. Wow. So it really pushes that professional actor to their depths and boundaries as well.
Nice. And what about you yourself? Do you have your own website?
Thank you for asking. No, I just, you can Facebook me. My Facebook page I use mainly as my quote unquote Lorraine Montez fan page. If you do go to Abundant Productions, I will have a new demo reel up there for me in the next couple of weeks. Our new demo reel for Abundant Productions will be up there by June 8th.
Awesome.
As well. So you can see some of the great things we're working on. And there is a fabulous teaser trailer right now on my Facebook page for Worst Night to Grow a Pear. It's also under Abundant Productions on Vimeo. So you can go there to see that. And it is, I encourage you guys to look at the teaser because it's incredible. Definitely. And it's got dildos in it. And it's just dildos and drinking and violence. Oh, my. It's this Worst Night to Grow Up Here is going to be a really, really fabulous show.
We're going to put it up on the site.
What is it? Wait. What did you just say? I got
dildos and drinking and fighting. Oh, my.
Yes. Love it.
Fighting. Oh, my. Dildos and drinking. And all right.
That's yes.
I think we're going to get a t-shirt.
Damn right.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Thank you, guys. Stand by.
Join us. Impressive. Back up. Fastball. Join us. Impressive. Live long and prosper.